1917. The intelligence officers of the Imperial German Navy find themselves utterly perplexed. The Great War is raging, and German U-boats, attempting to enter the English Channel en route to the Atlantic Ocean, are locked in a series of violent and deadly clashes with the Allied ships of the Dover Patrol. And the Germans are puzzling over one of those ships, the nonsensically named HMS Zubian. Traditionally, the Royal Navy christens its vessels in classes. Warships of similar size, speed, and armament are usually given names which fit with a particular theme. So from just the name, it's possible to make educated guesses about the capabilities of a newly commissioned enemy ship. But the Zubian just doesn't seem to fit amongst any of the classes in the Dover Patrol. It doesn't appear to be a battleship or monitor, because those are dauntingly named the HMS Revenge, Terror, and Venerable. It doesn't seem to belong with the destroyers, each named after a tribe, such as the HMS Amazon, Gurkha, Maori, Mohawk, and Viking. It doesn't sit well with the light cruisers, named the HMS Attentive, Active, and Adventure. And it's certainly not one of the minesweepers, amusingly named after dances, like the HMS Minuet, Tarantella, and Morris Dance. In fact, Zubian seems to be a new and made-up word altogether. And indeed, that is exactly what it is. Because the HMS Zubian is the Royal Navy's so-called Frankenship, a marvellous feat of engineering and a wonderful example of the Navy's sometimes eccentric approach to naming. It's the product of a madcap experiment to stitch together two partially destroyed sister ships in order to forge one new and serviceable tribal-class destroyer. In November 1916, the HMS Zulu's entire stern was shattered by a German mine. A month earlier, the HMS Nubian's bow had been destroyed by a German torpedo. The remains of both vessels were towed to Chatham Dockyard, and there, despite the fact that there was a 9-centimetre difference in the ship's beams, they were inventively welded together. From the wreckage of the Zulu and the Nubian, the HMS Zubian was born. And it's not the only one with an odd moniker. The Carcass, the Fairy, the Truant. Over the centuries, the Royal Navy has chosen some peculiar names for its ships. From HMS Cherub to HMS Lucifer and everything in between, these are some of the most unforgettable. Welcome to The Timely Historian with me, Simone Bellani. Episode 8. Dreadnought, Defiance, Devastation, and Dwarf. Over almost 500 years, more than 13,000 ships have served the Crown. They each carry the title HMS, which stands for Her or His Majesty's Ship, and are named by the Ship's Names and Badges Committee of the Royal Navy, drawing on a rich history and various naming conventions. Most often, the capital ships, battlecruisers, and aircraft carriers have been given impressive, dignified names, often intended to conjure a certain idea of Britishness. And so we've had the HMS Dreadnought and Defiance, invincible and intrepid, restless and relentless. Destroyers, submarines and cruisers are usually named in classes by a letter of the alphabet or a theme, such as UK towns or even insects or flowers. Imposing, however, has sometimes veered into downright sinister, for example in the cases of the Fireball, Onslaught, Savage, Spiteful and Tormentor, and especially with some of those beginning with the letter V, the Vanquisher, Vengeance, Venomous, Vindictive and Violent. Sometimes it's the opposite, and the names sound positively gentle, like the Buttercup, Dainty, Frolic, Petunia and Tickler. There have been several vessels whose names seem incongruent with the idea of a successful warship, like the Clown, desperate, impulsive, stubborn, and truant. Some have borne the names of real and exotic creatures, including the glowworm, chameleon, and platypus, and some have been named after fantastical beings, like the unicorn, scepter, and vampire. Although the general rule is not to name ships after living people, bar members of the royal family, they have been named after mythical characters like HMS Hercules and Poseidon, and fictional characters like HMS Aladdin and Titania. Some have even been named after edible items. My favourites are the coriander, sandwich, sultana, and pickle. And finally, some have been named after weather phenomena, which any ship would surely dread encountering itself. The storm cloud, thunderbolt, tempest, and hurricane, amongst others. In 1827, the Royal Navy christened one of its newest additions, HMS Black Joke. The ship had originally been a Brazilian slave ship named the Henrietta, but having seized it, the British repurposed it as a slave chaser. It was assigned to the West Africa Squadron on a mission to intercept its once fellow slave ships in order to capture their crews and free their shackled passengers, hence the name. During its 5 years of service, HMS Black Joke liberated thousands of innocent enslaved people. Once rot set into its timbers, the Navy decommissioned the ship and had it burned in 1832, the surgeon of one of its sister ships asserting that HMS Black Joke had, quote, done more towards putting an end to the vile traffic in slaves than all the ships of the station put together. The naming of ships is still a hot topic. In 2016, Britain's National Environment Research Council appealed for the public to submit suggestions for the name of a new £200 million polar research vessel. The runaway winner of the popular vote was the irreverent Boatima Boatface. Although the ship was eventually named the more sombre RRS Sir David Attenborough, one of its remotely controlled submersibles bears the name Boaty. And a great deal of thought goes into naming spaceships, too, the successors to the daredevil naval ships of centuries gone by. NASA's Space Shuttle program, which ran until 2011, used fairly traditional, inspirational monikers, Challenger, Discovery, Atlantis, and Endeavour, for example. And the Mars 2020 rover, on its quest to find signs of past microbial life, is named Perseverance. By contrast, Elon Musk's SpaceX abides by just one naming rule. Names must be cool, leading to the Dragon, the Falcon, and a fleet of drone ships named after Ian M. Banks' sci-fi novels, like Of Course I Still Love You and Just Read the Instructions. Names carry meaning. NASA's program to land the first men on the moon in the 1960s and 70s was of course named Apollo, after the Greek god of the sun. But it was Apollo's twin sister who was the goddess of the moon. And so NASA's next lunar spacecraft, which will carry one or more female astronauts, who will establish a sustainable presence on the moon, will be called Artemis. A choice of name which represents one small step, and perhaps even one giant leap, in recognising the talents and contributions of women to the field of exploration too. Spotlight on sources. The idea for this episode came from the 10-part horror drama series The Terror, based on the novel of the same name by Dan Simmons, which premiered on the AMC network in America and on the BBC in the UK in March 2021. It's a fictionalised account of the true story of Captain Sir John Franklin's lost expedition. In May 1845, his ship, the aptly named HMS Erebus, Erebus being a region of the underworld in Greek mythology, accompanied by the HMS Terror, departed England. Theirs was an ill-fated quest to find and traverse the fabled Northwest Passage in the Canadian Arctic. Having reached Greenland by late July, both ships and their crew of 129 men seemingly vanished. The expedition met disaster when the ships became icebound for almost 2 years. With little hope of a thaw, with supplies dwindling, and with sickness beginning to spread through the ranks, the Erebus and the Terror were abandoned. The crew undertook the all but hopeless 800-mile journey to the Canadian mainland on foot. It's not a show for the faint-hearted. The men slowly succumbed to consumption, frostbite, hypothermia, starvation, lead poisoning, and cannibalism, all the while being pursued by a huge bear-like creature which they believe is controlled by the native Inuit people. But it does vividly bring to life the immense danger and sacrifice involved in the stories of so many of the Royal Navy's ships. There's no doubt that these voyages were often motivated by a desire for glory, greed for trade, and nationalistic hunger for conquest, but they were also launched in the pursuit of more noble ends, to seek and illuminate the Earth's most enigmatic regions on behalf of us all. That's all for today. Thoughts and suggestions are always welcome. You can find me at The Timely Historian on Instagram. Thank you to Katie Evans for helping me to develop the concept of this episode, and thank you for listening. See you next week.